Welcome to the National Federation of the Blind's 2025 Senior Retreat, a time for empowerment, connection and growth. A special thanks to Janie Degenshain, Zoom administrator, and her team for a seamless retreat. Your dedication makes this event possible. Thank you for joining us on this journey.
Back, we are starting hour number two, and we are turning it over. Our instructor is Sandy Halverson.
Thank you very much, Judy. And yesterday, for those who were able to be on this call, one of the things that we mentioned, and since some were not here yesterday, we mentioned that a lot of this week's 1 o'clock hour classes or second hour discussions will be centered around health and wellness topics. Last year, we did a lot of stuff with food and kitchen and grilling, and that was a lot of fun. And we may sneak in a little of that later on. But as we all know, as when we start to lose vision, there's a lot of denial. Well, maybe I could see that if I tried this or if I tried something else. And I think there's a tendency for some of us to do that with hearing. We don't realize what we don't hear. If we don't hear it, we don't know. And all of a sudden, the TV starts getting louder. You're asking people to repeat more often. And I'm not a hearing aid wearer, but I hope I won't need to be. But if I am, I want to know as much about it as I possibly can. So our presenter is Bree Brown, whom some of you know. She sounds like a child. She really isn't. She's a delightful woman. And she said, I don't know a lot about seniors. She's going to get there one of these days. But she does know a lot about hearing aids and has been very proactive in determining what was needed, how to find out what she needed to do. And I don't want to give her presentation because I won't do it justice and I won't remember all the stuff she told me the other day. But I would like to, at this point, introduce Bree for her comments about hearing aids, and we'll have questions later on. Thank you, Bree. Go ahead.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. Can y'all hear me all right?
Yes.
Yeah. Everybody's muted.
We can hear you.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure y'all can hear me. All right. Well, good afternoon. I'm Bree, and I am very excited to talk to y'all today. I currently am our Braille production specialist at the National Center, and I love my job. It's a lot of fun. I get to produce Braille for all of our internal Braille programs that we do in our organization. And I get to do a lot of Braille transcription and proofreading and grading for NLS for our certification programs and all kinds of fun things like that. So Braille is pretty much my life. I really love it. It's so near and dear to my heart. Before this, I taught Braille for adults and children for 10 years. And, before all that, I'm a lifelong Braille reader and have just pretty much, it has pretty much just been a huge integral part of my life. So I'm super grateful for it. And that is pretty much what I do by day. And I guess just to kind of give a little bit of background, I come from a family full of blind people. And so while it is, I have pretty much, always had a very positive philosophy around blindness, even before I found the Federation. So my family, especially my mom and a lot of my teachers, I can't say all of them, but a lot of them had great high expectations for me, and that's pretty much what I knew, and so I'm so grateful for that. So then as I got into high school, I started I started hearing more about the Federation, and I was surrounded by some people who were extremely involved in organization, and I just started hearing so much of what they were doing, so much of where they were going, just their independence, their everything, and it inspired me. And I was like, I want what they have. I really want that. I had always believed that I could be successful. I had always believed that I could have a career. I grew up in West Virginia, so I knew that I was gonna, I never wanted to stay. I knew I was gonna end up somewhere else. And that has truly happened. I am living in state number four for myself, so and I just, it was just so incredible to me. So I joined the organization when I was 16, and the rest is history from there. I'm so grateful. The Federation, even though I came into it, having good feelings about my own blindness, my mind was blown away. Even though I had those thoughts and feelings about my blindness, I learned so much more than I ever thought that I could. I knew I could do, and then I realized, wow, while it is my mind wasn't closed, there was so much that I thought would be much more challenging than what it is. And it was just life changing. Even at that point, I had one of the things that I have always believed too was that, even if there were things that I wanted to do, even if I didn't know how I was going to do them right at the beginning, I was always determined that I would figure out how to do it. And the cool thing about that is that for my mom, anytime I told her, hey, I want to run, I went to public school, so I want to run track in high school, or I want to be in the marching band, or I want to, do this, that, and the other, she never told me no, ever. And sometimes it was, well, how are we going to do that? And I would tell her, I don't know right now, but let's do it and I'll figure it out. And I always did. And I'm so grateful for that. And I think we all experience that now today, no matter what age we are. And sometimes we, when we go through changes or, things like that, it's like, okay, well, I still want to do this, or I still want to, as a senior, maybe you enjoy reading, cooking, traveling, all these things. And I'm so excited that y'all are here, because this is just, I mean, truly, truly the right place. Having our connection, being a part of our organization, and all those types of things is just incredible. We are all such a resource for each other, and there is no better person to learn from than from our fellow blind Federationists and our friends, and also our incredibly our sighted friends who are incredibly blind at heart and who are totally invested in what we do and in the skills of blindness. And so I guess one quick example I will give real quick, and then I'll transition a little bit to I guess what I'm really supposed to talk about. No, this is really truly though, this is what will kind of give you a little bit of background for the hearing part. There is when I was growing up, I thought that one of the things I thought I wanted to do was be a teacher. I thought I wanted to be a school teacher. And I held on to that belief for a while, but then I started to transition.
Oh.
There were There were a lot of things coming up that I was like, well, I don't know about how to do that, or I don't know how to do this, or things like that. And then as I got a little older, I thought I wanted to be a radio DJ, and I wanted to do, I love music, and so I thought I wanted to do radio and that kind of stuff. Now, I know a lot of you don't know me, but most people laugh out loud when I tell them that, because I am one of the most introverted people that you can meet. I'm very quiet, and I can go for hours and hours and not say a word and not think twice about it. And but ultimately, the world had different plans for me, and I'm so thankful for that. And in hindsight, radio wouldn't have been the right thing for me anyway. I don't know. I'm very thankful for the people that can just totally talk on the fly and just talk for hours and not think twice about it. I cannot. So I'm glad that I didn't do that. But the teacher thing never left. So when I first joined the Federation, after going to the Louisiana Center for the Blind and meeting so many incredible people and teachers and that kind of stuff, and I guess even before LCB, at the National Center we had this program. It was a youth program when we had affiliate action, and Joanne Wilson was one of the leaders, and she just
All
on
state.
the spot just changed my life right away. I knew I was hooked at this program. I've been in the Federation for a few months, but this was the ticket that sold me. And the rest, it's been,
Caps lock on. Caps lock on. Enter.
I guess I've been in the Federation for almost 16 years now. And so after I met Joanne and everything, I went to the Louisiana Center, but everybody was teaching. And as I saw blind people teaching and doing all the things that I wasn't sure about, well, as you
Restore.
can see from there, I got to teach for 10 years. So I'm really grateful for that.
Restore unavailable. Close.
So
Enter.
stepping back a few years though, when I was a teenager, I'd had a hearing test then. I don't remember why. I think it was just like a checkup or something like that. And so at that point, I'd had a high frequency loss, and it wasn't, I don't really know much about it from that point, other than there were just some high frequency sounds, like high pitched beeps or things like that that I didn't really hear. So, but that was it. Nothing else ever happened from it. There was never any other follow-up appointment. There was nothing. I mean, I did ask my mom about it. I asked her about the appointment, I guess a little over a year ago, and she said yes, she did remember the appointment, but that was it. Like, there was nothing else that came from it. So time went on, and I guess, never really, like, everything was fine, at least I thought. And but then I guess I'm gonna say, like, another 10, 12 years or so went by, and then I really started to know that things weren't perfect. I knew that I knew my hearing certainly wasn't 100%, but I also just, I just didn't really think too much about it. I knew in my heart it wasn't quite right. Do y'all hear me?
Yes, now we do.
Okay, what was the last thing you heard me?
I just go on from wherever. I don't know. You've been struggling with dealing with the fact that you have a hearing loss. And now you're gone again. No.
Okay, can y'all hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So I was just saying, I knew things weren't perfect, but I was just kind of, at that time, I was just kind of making my own, just, you know. So that happened for a while. And then about a year and a half ago, all of a sudden, I heard someone talking to me. I knew who it was. But it wasn't until until she said something else that I realized that she was behind me. And that got my attention. I was like, oh wow. You know, I felt like something just wasn't right. And so then finally I decided it was time to do something about it. You know, and it's kind of like blindness. You know, a lot of times when you're, I guess I'm going to say new to blindness, or when you're transitioning, or that kind of stuff. You know, I understand that there are, you know, stages that people go through, and I got on, I heard, you know, someone talking about how they're kind of like, you know, they know that they, you know, they can't see, but they also haven't, you know, they're working on getting to that point of integrating and using their cane and that kind of stuff, which is such a positive thing, and it's a great step forward. But it's the same kind of thing that I was kind of working with this hearing thing. So, I had an ENT appointment for some other things, and we also had been talking, so the audiologist is there also, where my ENT is. And so we did a hearing test, and the hearing test came out much, turned out to be much more than they or I expected. I knew it was not perfect. However, I did not realize how imperfect it was. And so, as a blind person, it was an amazing experience in the sense that I got so lucky because I both the ENT and the audiologist, but I'm going to transition to the audiologist, realized how incredibly important my hearing is as a blind person. And she never, ever at any point treated me any differently. I was the same person that I was when I met her 5 minutes ago. And she realized that I needed to be able to, you know, I needed to be able to, you know, to use what hearing I can. And she wanted to give me the best tools so that I could be the most successful. I guess with some very significant hearing loss. So here's an example though. Because interestingly enough, just like blindness, no two blind people are the same. No two people who with hearing loss are the same either. Yes, there are a percentage of blind people who are totally blind, which is roughly 15%. I happen to fall into that 15%. And then, of course, in the hearing world, there are a number of people that are, you know, completely deaf. And then, just like blindness, everybody's hearing loss of what they can or cannot hear is completely different. There is just no two the same. So for me, my normal range is fine. So, like lower, you know, sounds or things like that are okay. But basically, think about a diagonal line. The higher the sound, pitch, beep, voice, whatever, the harder it is for me, and it just falls off. So it just goes from a normal starting at the top, the diagonal line goes down to the right and falls off. So I went from normal all the way to profound. And it was a surreal moment because at my house, we used to have a dishwasher that beeps. And everyone says the dishwasher beeps. It beeps. And I was, no, that dishwasher does not beep. It doesn't. I never, in all the years we had that dishwasher, never ever did I hear it beep. but apparently it does. So I'm gonna believe them on that. Some of our, unless you turn this off, some of our Braille displays make a beeping sound. I don't hear it, so I turn it off because I don't want it to be making noise and not, and me not know. So anyway, so then they really suggested that I get hearing aids. Well, as you can imagine, this was definitely an emotional transition for me. Really, it was a reality check. I really felt like, as I'm sure, I imagine a lot of you are maybe new to blindness, and it's definitely been an eye-opener for you too. And so I really had to sit with it and think about it. I prayed about it. Her name is Amber, the audiologist. She told me, she talked to me, and she said, and she emailed me all the information that I needed. So I got to, look at it and all that kind of stuff. And then I called her. And I had questions, and we talked about it and everything, and it was just, and I told her, I said, "Hey, I'm sorry." I said, "There's just a little bit of an emotional piece with this." And she goes, "Yes." She said, "I would be worried if you weren't feeling anything." And I was like, "Okay." So that was relieving to me because I was like, "Oh gosh, I just, like I said, in my heart, I knew something wasn't right, but it was just, it was on the table now." So few other things happened in my life at that time. I was also very ill. I had been in the hospital. It was just a really, just a crazy time. Well, about a month went by, and I decided I was ready. I decided I was going to take that plunge because I knew, I just knew. Well, I called her and I told her I was ready. Now, let me stop here just a second to say there are so many choices when it comes to hearing aids, too, which also can be wow. But the great thing is, she was able to, she said, this is what I recommend. And she had two things for me. She said, "These are what I recommend. My first choice would be this." So already I'm not alone. I have her. She's guiding me. She told me what I needed to know. She gave me the information. I was able to look at it and ultimately decided to go with what she was highly recommending also. I got the I ended up with going with the premium version of the hearing aids that I have because I really wanted to make sure that I was, really fulfilling what I needed. Well, this went so fast. I called her on a Friday and told her that I was ready. She had the hearing aid in her hand by the following Tuesday, and I saw her the following Thursday. Wow. Whew. Okay. And this was in April of last year. Well, I was nervous, and so I went to see her, and she shows them to me. We plug them in the sense of get them all connected and that kind of stuff. And y'all, this is where it gets real. This is so amazing. So, just like so many of the things that we can do with blind people, in the techniques. Who knew? I sure didn't. When it comes to hearing aids, they are not a one-size-fits-all approach. I never knew this, and I was just stunned. While it is the brand and name of the specific hearing aid might be the same, the adjustments that are available for each person, the programs that can be set for each person, the volume that each person might need is totally individual. Wow. I had no idea. And then you have follow-ups, which is good, and you're able to make adjustments. So some of the settings with at least my specific pair of hearing aids, I can control them on the hearing aid itself. It's literally just a button. I don't even have to use my phone to do this, which is so cool. So when it makes the changes, it beeps. You're probably already thinking, did you hear the beep? Well, yes, I heard the beep when I was by myself. However, when I was in a crowd of people, I could not hear the beep. Well, cool enough, guess what? We can turn that beep up. So we did adjust the volume of the beep at my next appointment, and cool, now I can hear it when I'm with myself and when I'm with people. Having hearing aids in the past, it's been about 10 months now, actually 10 months today, and it has been life-changing. First off, I cannot believe how much I really was not hearing. I am amazed. I knew I was struggling some, but I had no idea to what extent until I started hearing all these things that I, you know, for example, at the NFB building, there are a number of things that beep. I had no idea all this stuff beeps. I do now. It's fascinating, and I have played with it because I just like to. I have definitely taken my hearing aid out. Yep, nope, it sure doesn't beep when that thing's not in. So the months went by and we were able to continue making adjustments and getting them just right for me. And one thing that I cannot emphasize enough, you know, finding, you know, if hearing loss is something that any of you are thinking about or are dealing with or anything like that, I think one of the most coolest things and one of the most important things is that it is so individual, and that it really is a way to meet your need and to make it a really cool experience. And I one you know another thing for me too is things that sound the same, a lot of words that sound the same. So especially my example is the letters, like in the alphabet, how so many of our letters end with an E sound. And also so many like F and S, you know, they especially on the phone sound very similar to me. So sometimes I need someone to give me a phonetic instead of just saying, like, if they might say something, I would say, can you give me a phonetic or something like that? And also on my computer, if I don't hear a letter, it will say the letter and then give me the phonetic if I'm not sure. And so that's something that's also very helpful. And another really incredible experience that I had in the past year, and I actually was just at the Maryland Convention this weekend, and it was another true test to for this, was that so previously, I've been to a number of state conventions, and I have been to every national convention since 2010. And so many of when we're in like general session or presentations and things like that, there's so much, I'm spending so much time focusing on trying to make sure I understood the words that the presenter was saying. And that kind of stuff, so much so that I was truly missing out on a lot of the actual content that was being talked about. Well, so I got my hearing aids on April 17th, and the following day, I lived in Louisiana for a number of years, and that is so where my heart is. And so I was going home to the Louisiana convention that following Friday on the 18th. And so this was a true test right away. Talk about having no time to, so I went, and y'all, oh my goodness. I mean, I cannot. We started general session on Saturday. I could have cried right there. I didn't, though, don't worry. But I heard everything the presenters had to say. I actually got to really focus on the content, on the things they had to share, on the information, on the joy, on the reflections, on the everything, instead of sitting there focusing on figuring out what words they were saying and missing most of the content. And I was just overjoyed. My heart was so full at this point. No, this is not a topic that I end up talking about with lots of people. Just like blindness, this part has been an adjustment for me. So I have, been working through that. But I was just fixed. I was fixed. It was almost like when I found the organization, I was like, wow, Well, a few more months went by and it was time to go to national convention. And the same thing happened at general session. Oh my gosh. The presentations, the everything, it just everything, things meant so much before, they mean so much more now because I can really focus on what I am hearing. And then one of the other things that I want to say real quick too is that so I am also a singer. I have been singing my entire life. I really love it. I have done all kinds of different things and still do. And so the cool thing is that with the hearing aids, we were able to apply a music setting. So that has been very helpful. And that allows me to hear all kinds of just different things that you don't even think about when it comes to music. So that was really neat. And again, that came from because, talking to the audiologist about me and my life, and she goes, "Well, we have this, we can do this setting." I mean, like I had no idea, And then one cool thing too is that, and then I will transition, and we can take some questions and that kind of stuff. I would say this is the case with most hearing aids. Other people that I know have these same two things, even with different brands. They may be used under different names for different brands of hearing aids, but on my particular brand, it's called All Around. And so you can hear things all around you. It's multi-directional. You can hear, you're just hearing. It's awesome. And then there's also on mine that it's called Hear and Noise, and another brand is called Party, which is kind of funny. But the idea of that setting is that it focuses forward. So the focus is more towards what is happening in front of you. So if you're at a restaurant sitting at a table, you can, that's an example where you can do it. I love pre-registration at conventions or registration period. I just love it. So I love running registration and pre-registration. It's really like near and dear to my heart. I get to, say hello to lots of people. And so when I do that, and when I can use this hearing noise situation and put it in its forward mode, it really focuses on the people that are in front of me. Yes, I can still hear what's happening all around me. It doesn't shut off what is happening around the room, but the focus is on what is in front of me. And so that is, then I definitely can hear the person, for the most part, that kind of stuff. I mean, don't get me wrong, we all say what from time to time, but so like that has really been an incredible change. And so that there's so I can't say enough about the individuality of this that there is for everybody. So because we're all so different, and that's really an awesome blessing that we are all different. I think the world would be a lot more boring if we were all the same. So it's definitely still a journey that I am on. It's still been, I've known Sandy for a long time, and I just told her about it recently, and she said, "What? I had no clue. And I was like, yeah. And I just, this is the first time that I've ever talked about it in a group. So thank you to all of you. And I really feel a lot better about things moving forward now. And I'm still trying to figure out exactly what my needs are and are not, or what things may or may not be that I need to make adjustments with, or, things that I can do. There's always follow-up from this. So, like, for example, I do, see my audiologist every 6 months. And so it's just been a really neat experience. So, but I want to stop there and see what questions y'all have. And yeah.
I have a quick thing to read that you told me that you did not tell anybody yet.
No, I don't remember what that
People,
was.
I'm going to tell you. I asked you if people were aware that you were wearing hearing aids, and you told me why they are not. And I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's actually really good. So no, so that is actually true. So the hearing aids are like, people have no idea at all, and it is actually really cool. And I actually have asked a few sighted friends about this, but they are, first off, they part of it actually goes behind my ear, so they don't even see it back there. Secondly, mine are the same color as my hair, so they just completely blend in. And then also, they're the little wire part that goes from the part that is behind my ear that goes inside my ear, is completely clear. So people have no idea. And my sighted friends are like, nope, they don't even notice it until I had said something. And even after that, they're not like, whoa, I see it, so yeah, so it's definitely, so it's not like it's not like you're walking around going, oh, well, there we go, Bill's wearing a hearing aid, hey, Bill, it's not like that at all.
Yeah,
Okay,
another quick
Musi
question.
has her hand raised.
Yes, first of all, I'm from West Virginia too, so hooray for the state. Where are you from in West Virginia?
I grew up in Clarksburg.
Okay. Two questions. I have hearing aids, not fancy like yours, which I want, but my trouble is charging. I swear it doesn't. Do you have a charger, or do you have to use the little batteries?
Mine are rechargeable. I have been very lucky. The recharging has worked very well.
Excuse me, but how often do you have to charge them?
Well, I charge them. They live in their charger when they are not in my ears.
Okay.
So I do charge them every night.
Okay.
Now, I will say that the box also acts as a battery pack. So, like, if I end up somewhere for a night and can't plug it in, they're still charged for the next day.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Shelly.
Kelly?
Shelly, go ahead.
Sorry, I'm not having good luck finding the raise hand
Don't
thing.
worry. You did the right thing. You said your name and waited. You have the floor. Go ahead.
Okay. Bree, you're just a delightful young lady. I think you're so sweet, and what a wonderful story. And to be able to put it in the context of your adjustment, as well as kind of comparing it with blindness, I think you did a very good job there. Do you speak with other groups, divisions of the National Federation of the Blind in another state, like a senior division meeting or something like that?
I'm certainly not opposed to it. This is my first time speaking to a group on this topic.
Okay. Well, you did a great job. We've had this topic come up in our state. I'm from South Carolina. Excuse me, South Carolina. We've had the topic of hearing and hearing aids, and you know, that's why I was asking. I may, if you don't mind, I may get your contact information and see if we could have you come as a visitor to our division meeting sometime.
Sure.
Sure. Yeah, I'm Shelley Koppel, and yeah, and it's just been a delight to meet you today. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Sandy with a question.
Go ahead, you have the floor.
You listen to music, and you have a wire in your ears. Do you, or wires, I should say, plural. Do you listen then, what kind of external headphones do you use, or do you, how does that work?
So both. Yes. So I two things. I do two different things. One, I do wear my AirPods a lot. And so when I wear my AirPods, I definitely don't have my hearing aid then, because I need to have the AirPod in my ear hole and not a hearing aid bud. The neat thing about the AirPods is that for the ones that I have, they do have a noise canceling setting and a transparency setting, so I can totally shut the world off or still hear what's around me. So I do that a lot, but outside of that, yes. So this happened post hearing aids. I got myself a really nice set of Bose headphones. And it doesn't have to be anything fancy, Bose or Sony or anything like that. You know, people can certainly get, you know, what they want. But for me, as a huge, you know, music buff and really just wanting to be a part of the whole experience, Bose was definitely just the thing for me. And so, yeah, so they go right over my ears. And actually, the first time I put them on, I ended up having to turn the hearing aids down because they interacted with the headphones and it screamed in my ear.
Wow.
It was just a matter of adjusting it. It works completely fine. And actually, it's a really pretty cool experience.
This is Judy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if, well, I'm thinking about, you know, we're teaching people this week that no matter what their vision is or isn't, we're going to teach you techniques that don't rely on your vision. And I'm wondering if it is as true with hearing loss, before you had the hearing aids, and of course you're finding it an advantage to have them, but is that not as true the other way around?
I think, you know, so one of the things that I mean, and I still do this now, I guess I'm going to speak about this from the hearing part of it. I recognize in here a lot of people may still be learning Braille, or new to Braille, or, you know, those types of things. But for me, I started, I use Braille every day anyway, but I started using Braille in some other ways also that made me have to focus a little less on it too. So like, for example, on the computer, while it is, I'm hearing what's on the computer because I am reading and transcribing, but all at the same time, by being able to see the words right underneath my fingers, what was there, I was definitely not as heavily focused on what I was hearing in my ear. Does that kind of...
Sort of, but I guess what I'm wondering is, You have, and rightfully so, found the hearing aids to be a real asset to you. So I'm trying to reverse it and wondering about all the people in this session, most of whom have some vision. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we're teaching is that everything we're going to teach them doesn't rely on that vision. So when you didn't have the hearing aids, did you find yourself like, what about traveling with a white cane? Was that harder to do when you didn't hear so well?
I would say initially in the first several years of this, I guess I just didn't really think that much about it. I would say maybe it really wasn't until the past maybe 2 years that I started to realize like, oh, you know.
Like, could you know when to cross the street?
Yes, so that so that's what I was gonna say. So I actually I found that once I really started to realize that there was a that something wasn't quite right, I definitely started spending quite a bit longer you know, listening before crossing the street, and was also where I am. Sometimes there our street is also parallel to an interstate, and so a lot of times when the I was mistaking, like I would think something on the interstate was something coming down the street and everything. So it definitely was adding time in terms of travel. And then also when it came to listening for certain things, so like for example, sometimes in the case of like listening for the checkout counter and that kind of stuff, it was definitely taking a lot longer for that stuff, because I just wasn't hearing it right away. But then I started thinking about other ways to listen for it rather than just for the beeping sound, which did help.
So what I want to propose to everybody in this group is that maybe the he her hearing aid is our white cane, so that's the tool that we have that will make the amount of vision we have less crucial to our success out there.
I think that's a great comparison, actually. I think that, you know, once I accepted that and started using it, it really amplified things for me, and it also made things a lot less stressful. It also made things much, so many things much easier. And I will also share that there was a time in my life that I was also growing up, and even before I went to LCB, I wanted nothing to do with my cane.
Oh, I've been there.
I would use it in school because I had to, but pretty much outside of school, no. And also, once I got to middle school and high school, listen, girls, I wasn't buying the purse if my cane couldn't fit in it, okay? And also I would walk a lot with, you know, the people that I was hanging out with in high school, like pretty much anything not to use my cane, right? So, but then when I went to LCB and really got some, I'm not saying I didn't have cane travel in school, but it wasn't awesome, right? So when I finally went to LCB and got some true, fully dedicated cane travel, I realized how much my cane could do and be for me. And y'all, the rest is history from there. Once I accepted my cane and once I got comfortable with it, I don't go anywhere without it, anywhere. Like, I mean, obviously I don't like use it in my house or anything like that, but like when I, like, if I leave this house, my cane goes with. And it, you know, making that transition, you know, just like with the hearing aids, like, yeah, it could be so easy. Like, oh, I'm just not going to wear them today. Oh, I'm just not today, but maybe tomorrow. You know, it's kind of the same thing. But once I truly accepted that with my cane, oh, wow, it changed my life. Once I realized how much my cane could, and once I realized how much more independent my cane could make me, oh, wow.
Absolutely. So we have a couple of people with hands raised. I see Judith and then Patricia. You're doing a great job, kiddo. Thank you for sharing your story. Judith, you have the floor.
Yeah, I do have to go to a doctor's appointment this afternoon, so I'll have to find out tomorrow what you discussed. But I was just curious, did the doctor tell you how you became deaf? I mean, did they
Was this hereditary, or was it from using headphones, or did they have any cause for it? Because you sound pretty young.
I am. We're still talking about everything. I have, unfortunately, a number of other health issues going on also. And some of what is happening could very potentially be related to my the condition of my blindness. It does have other things that can happen. So that is a real possibility. But in terms of like just wearing headphones and that kind of stuff, no.
Okay. So are you saying there's a correlation between blindness and hearing loss, or just in your particular case?
I'm going to say it could potentially be in my case. I wouldn't say as a general rule of thumb, no. But with my eye condition, there can be a number of other things that could happen. But I can't really say yes or no to that right now, just because we're really still working on sorting everything out.
Okay, thank you.
Next up is Patricia, followed by Vincent.
Oh, okay, thank you, Jane.
This is Patty Droppers. I'm figuring you mean me.
Yes. Hi, Patty,
Hey, good to, I didn't realize that, fellow hearing aid wearer. I'm into 3 years with, already? Wow, with my particular brand. It's my third set, and this is the one I think I have worn the longest. When they are out, I'm not of this world. I can't hear very much without them, and I'm still, I think, making some adjustments. And definitely, Judy Sanders, your analogy is spot on. I don't know. I would be in big trouble if I didn't have these. And it's amazing what they can do. And I'm still playing with mine. And it's amazing what they've come up with. And I think the worst thing for me is I've always had a hearing loss as well with high frequencies. But I knew as an adult, when I was having trouble with echolocation, that was the deal. Because when I was younger, I used to enjoy traveling. But when echolocation became a problem, I didn't enjoy it much. And even my former dog guide user, but it always bothered me that it was like, gee, Droppers, you're the slowest one to figure out when the cursed traffic light changes. Mm-hmm. And it still drives me crazy. I'm still trying to figure out those adjustments. But life would be miserable without hearing aids. That's all I can say.
Thank you. Yeah, the hearing aids has helped with that so much, actually. Like the directional stuff really yes. has been awesome. And knowing when to, being able to cross a lot faster, that kind of stuff. Knowing exactly where the elevator is that open. Yeah, yep, it's definitely helped with that.
Yeah, I still have some trouble with that, but it's better than it used to be. And I, too, when people would call me, I would go in the totally exact opposite direction because I just did, because I thought, oh, you're in front of me, and they were behind me, or they were behind me, and I went, whatever it was. So, but anyway, I really enjoyed your story. Thank you so much. And if I ever see you again, we'll have to form the Mutual Hearing Aid Admiration Society. So... All
thank
right.
You.
Thank you very much.
And
Vincent has his hand up. Vincent, if you're able to unmute.
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, first of all, it truly is an amazing, not story, because it's real life. But, the way you presented it, the process that you got into it, the reticence in the beginning to use items that can help life easy is something that, many of us, go through when we try to deny the reality that we live on. And only once we experience that, we realize how much we can be we can take advantage of just by listening to what others have experienced, you know, what others, you know, have tried, and then tried it ourselves, you know, be it the white cane or hearing aids or whatever, and not just ignore it because, you know, I may sometimes think that I am not going to give up my independence and rely on some kind of technology, whether it's, you know, simple technology like a white cane or something more complicated. And I think that that's one of the obstacles that many of us, you know, have to first overcome to realize that we are here to learn. You know, we have a new experience that we go through. You know, those of us, I lost my sight at a later stage in my life. And my ignorance about, you know, what I could have known, what I should have learned when I started losing my eyesight. My gosh, I mean, I wish I had heard people like yourself and been in organizations like the NFB that allowed me to, you know, realize and learn and take advantage of the knowledge and also what is being offered. So thank you, you know, very, very much. And the very best to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Vincent. Ellen, I don't see any other hands raised. Do you?
No, I don't. Jane, thank you.
We have about three.
And we're actually very close. Oh,
yes.
I'm sorry. How many
No, that's
minutes?
Okay. No, that's okay. But because we have 3 minutes and there's no hands raised, guess what? Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo! It's door prize time.
Oh. I just, can I just say one thing real quick before
oh,
we,
of course you can.
Sure.
Okay. So two quick things. One, I just want to say that, I have an Apple Watch and I will say that I have actually learned how to use a lot of the vibration features on it, which has been super helpful. So therefore I'm not relying on listening for the beeps and that kind of stuff. I can actually feel on my arm a lot of things that are happening, which has been very cool. But secondly, I wanted to say that, you know, just like I imagine blindness is new for a lot of you guys, this is a new journey for me. And yes, this is just what my experience has been so far, but I promise you there is so much that I am sure I don't know yet and so much more for me to experience too. And so it's you know, it's something that always goes on and continues. And I also just want to say thank you for y'all's time, and thank you, Sandy, for inviting me to talk with y'all. I'm really grateful and definitely looking forward to meeting a lot of you.
Well, thank you, Bree. I'm glad. I don't know how we got on the subject, but I'm glad we did. And thank you very much. Mm-hmm. You have brought to the end of, and now we're ending right before our break. So I don't know if you want to stick around. If people have questions, you're welcome to. Or if there are other things that you need to go off and do, that's good too.
Gotcha. I think we better have that door prize.
Okay, so we're going to do it again. Otherwise, it's not official. Now, here's the deal. I say my spiel, and then Judy tells us a number from her A-lady, and she has cards there, and she'll tell us who the winner is. Now, the winner has to act as equally as enthusiastic as I did with the woohoo woohoo. Otherwise, the $10 does not come to your mailbox. So here's it goes. Woohoo woohoo, it's door prize time. Okay, Judy.
Judy, you're muted.
Yeah. Maybe she was getting a number.
All those silly details. If the person is not present, did we make a rule about whether they win?
You have to be in it to win it. So if you're not here listening.
In the Zoom.
Yeah.
All right. Echo, give me a number from 1 through 35.
Alexa.
It's number 11.
Okay, so Judy's going to tell us who that is.
That is Marion Solomons.
And she's in the room.
Marion Solomons is here.
Hey. Let's hear that woo-hoo.
You got her woo-hoo.
You got that woo-hoo, baby. Okay, you'll be getting a check next week.
All right. Yeah.
Thank you for spending your time with us today. We appreciate your participation. For more information, contact President Glenn Crosby at nfbseniors@gmail.com or call 443-681-9345. We look forward to connecting with you again soon.